A lot of people find it important to know who their descendants are, to know their family tree, to see whether or not they're related to someone famous, someone who was important in the nation's history and in other various areas. And so when we begin to think about that, we begin to think about who we are related to and what is important there. Who is our family and what families can we be related to and what would be the importance? Tonight I would like for us to look at what we refer to as Abraham's family, God's family, and the importance of us being numbered with those who are heirs of Abraham, and how that involves us in becoming God's children and be able to receive the reward that is there. It is important for us to consider these things, I believe. And so we're going to look at a brief study and review of Abraham as he is revealed to us in the Scriptures, and then draw some lessons as to how that is so important and why God refers to it so many times and our relationship to him. Abraham is first mentioned in Genesis, the 11th chapter, in verse 26. He's mentioned as Abram. That's before his name was changed by God. His life covers 14 chapters in the book of Genesis, more than any other Old Testament character. He's mentioned 40 more times in the Old Testament outside of the Genesis record, and 70 times in the New Testament. For anyone who is mentioned that often within the pages of Scripture, we must agree that this is a very prominent person in God's plan for mankind. God tells us a lot about him, and he praises him often. And so as we look at this, we want to see an overview, first of all, from the life of Abraham that many of you are well familiar with, so that we can draw some important lessons about our relationship to God as a result of Abraham. He originally lived in what was referred to in the Scriptures as Ur of Chaldees, later to be known as the location of Babylon, and the Babylonian Empire was centered in that area. And his father was Terah. He had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. While they were living there, Haran, one brother, died, and Abraham took his son Lot to live with his family. God calls Abram. He calls him to leave Ur and to go to a land that he would show him. Along that way, we find him stopping at Haran. While he is there at Haran, Terah, his father, dies and is buried there. It is then that God makes a threefold promise in Genesis, the 12th chapter, in the first three verses that were read to you a few moments ago. He will repeat that promise again in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and verses 16 through 18, after the attempt of offering Isaac, Abraham's son, as a sacrifice unto God. Here are the two accounts of those promises that God made. Now the Lord God said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." The later record of these promises is found, as I said, in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, beginning with verse 16. And said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." What we find within these verses are three promises. We refer to it as the land promise, the nation promise, and the seed promise. And we're going to look at these a little more involved in a few minutes. But here is the three divisions of those promises that God makes to Abraham. The Lord leads him from Haran, goes to Canaan, And the land, this is the land that God would eventually give him. He has to stay a short time in Egypt because of a famine, but he returns to Canaan and will remain there most of the rest of his life as a result of that. While there, God causes him to prosper, to become very wealthy, very influential. During his stay here, we will find that there's a time when he and Lot's herdsmen keep fussing and can't get along, and they separate, and Lot goes down to Sodom. And while he is in the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, the kings battle, and Lot is captured, he and his family, and taken away. When Abraham hears of that, he uses his own household, specially trained servants, we're told. The specially trained servants numbered, I think it was 318. Now, these are special servants that he had. This indicates to you his prosperity, the amount of his holdings, the amount of these servants. And the unique thing about these servants, all of them were born while he was over them, while they were working for him. So this is a large holding and that Abraham has. And he had great prosperity. He was very wealthy and very prominent throughout that part of the country. Sarah, his wife, who was also his half-sister, she was barren. They could not have children. Barren to the time that she tries to help the Lord by giving her handmaiden to Abraham to have a child, and they would say that that would be their child. Hagar, the servant, bore a son. His name was Ishmael. God was not pleased. And eventually he had Abraham send Hagar and Ishmael away. And that left Isaac had already been born at this time. And so we refer back to that Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. And Sarah was 90 years of age. Later, you remember that God tested Abraham's faith by telling him to offer Isaac as a sacrifice unto him. Abraham obeyed God, and his threefold promise was given again. Sarah dies at the age of 127. Abraham sends his precious servant, or one that he trusted greatly, to go back to Haran, to Ur, in that area, to find a wife for Isaac. And he comes back with Rebekah, who is the granddaughter of his brother Nahor. And so this becomes then the next sequence in the family that God is developing, which will be, his promises will be fulfilled. After this, Abraham marries again. He marries Keturah. He has six more sons with her. So we find that he dies at the age of 175. This is a brief overlook of the life of the servant of God, this man called Abraham. This one who was willing to do and go wherever, whenever, and whatever God told him to do. A great example of faith. A great example of trust in God. And his will and what he would have them to do. His descendants began to multiply through Isaac. Isaac had two sons, twins, Jacob and Esau. It was through Jacob that God would continue to develop this great family, this great group of his chosen. These 12 sons that Jacob has will become the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now then, with all of this background concerning Abraham and his life and remembering who he was and what he was doing and what God called upon him to do, whether it was to go to a land, he didn't know where he was going, but God said go and he started out. God said, I'll tell you when you get there. Or whether it was to offer a son, that his only son, on an altar and offer him as a burnt offering unto God, he was willing to do that as well, to the point of drawing the knife back and ready to thrust it through his son till the angel stopped him. Whatever we find in his life, he was willing to do whatever God would have him to do. The first part of that promise was that there would be a nation, a great nation. Of course, that was fulfilled in the descendants of Israel. In Genesis, the 46th chapter, and in verse 3, he said, I am God, the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. In Exodus 1, and verse 7, but the children of Israel were faithful, were fruitful, and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. This is while they were under the power of the Egyptians there in Egypt. In Deuteronomy 26 and verse 5, instructions are being given to the children of Israel as they're going into the, when they go into the promised land, that they are, whoever they meet there, this is what they are to tell them as to who they are and why they are there. In Deuteronomy 26 and verse 5, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there. Few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. The land promise was fulfilled in the days of between Joshua and Solomon. We find Joshua saying in chapter 21, beginning with verse 43, so the Lord gave to Israel all the land of which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. In Joshua the 23rd chapter in verse 14, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which God, the Lord your God, spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. So the land promise was completed. It was fulfilled. And so not only did he fulfill the nation promise, he fulfilled the land promise as well. Then comes the seed promise. That was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ. In Acts the 3rd chapter, we begin reading in verse 25 in Peter's sermon, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Who are the heirs of Abraham? How can we find out whether or not we are an heir of Abraham? The promise was made to all nations would be blessed in Abraham's seed. That rules out Israel or the Jews as the only heirs. That means that there would be others. All nations could be heirs of Abraham's seed. The answer to this is found in Galatians the 3rd chapter. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, and I want to begin reading with verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that not one is justified by the law on the side of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, But the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then drop down to verses 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What he tells us here is Paul writes the Galatian letter. He points out that the true heirs of Abraham are those who are people of faith. That begins with the importance of faith. Abraham believed God and obeyed. And so we're to have that same kind of faith, that we're to do all that God commands us to do without questioning, and that we are to be faithful in that faith. Believes that God, when all is contrary to man's thinking, he's going to do what God says. Whether it's marching around the wall 7 times or whether it's dipping in the River Jordan 7 times to cure leprosy, whatever it may be, those things that were contrary to man's thinking that God commanded, one who is of faith is one who will do those things that man says is contrary to the laws of nature. But God says to do it, and the faithful will do it. He's willing to obey God no matter the sacrifice. Abraham exemplifies that to us, and that he was willing to obey God to sacrifice his son and to kill him upon that altar, because God had told him to do so. Secondly, the true heirs of Abraham are those who Christ has redeemed. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law by shedding his blood on the cross for forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's important for us to see that Christ redeemed us. The law could not be kept perfectly. And because the law could not be kept perfectly, God gave us a law of faith. A law of faith that we can obey, and yet we can have forgiveness when we come short of that law. It is important for us to realize this law of faith and how it is applied to us from God's will. Now, the redeemed are not just the Israelites, not just the Jews. The redeemed are those who include the Gentiles that are in Christ Jesus. We read a few moments ago in Galatians 3 and verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Again, the Gentiles had an opportunity to become heirs of Abraham and members of the family of God. Those who have become sons of God through faith Jesus, through faith in Christ Jesus, are true heirs of Abraham. Faith is a faith that is a faith in Christ as the Messiah. In John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins." A faith that believes that Jesus Christ was the Son of God when he was here on this earth. In John the 6th chapter and verse 69, "Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Faith in Christ as the Messiah also involves believing he died for our sins. This is a faith that helps us to become heirs of Christ, heirs of God's family. In 1 Corinthians 15, the first 2 verses, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." We must also believe in the resurrection of the dead. How many of you have seen raised from the dead? We are called upon to believe that Christ was raised from the dead. In Romans 10th chapter and in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's a faith that believes in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And so the true heirs of Abraham are those who are of faith, an obedient faith, an unquestioning faith in God and His Word, a willingness to obey Him in all things and in every way that He commands us to obey Him. They are those whom Christ has redeemed, who's come in contact with the precious blood of Christ that was shed on that cross for our sins. Those who become sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. They're those who've been baptized into Christ. These are those that are the true heirs of Abraham. We become sons of God through faith and baptism in Christ. Go back to our passage in Galatians 3 and verse 27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In baptism, we are united with Christ. We're clothed with Him. And thus we become those who are heirs of Abraham. Who then are those who are Abraham's family? Who are then thus the family of God? Well, those who are of faith. Those who walk in the steps of faith of Abraham. Who are willing to obey God no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice, no matter the suffering. They are those who are of faith. They are those who have been redeemed by Christ. Those who come in contact with Christ's precious blood that was shed on the cross. Those who have been baptized into Christ. They too are those who are Abraham's family and they are God's family. What a blessing it is to be of the seed of Abraham and children in God's family. God, from the very beginning, had a plan. And in that plan, Abraham became a major portion. And really, God said, those who are heirs of Abraham, they can receive the promise of being in his family, God's family, and having eternal life with Him in heaven. An important question that you need to consider tonight is whether or not you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not only that, do you believe that He died and rose from the dead and now reigns in heaven, the right hand of God? Are you willing to live a life that is dedicated to obedience to God's will in every avenue of your life? Are you willing to be baptized into the name of Christ for the remission of your sins? Be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that you may be raised, that your sins may be washed away, that you might be a child of God. And if a child of God, also an heir of Abraham. That's where the promise is fulfilled. Surely, there's one here who is not an heir of Abraham, who is not a child in God's family. Then you want to become one so that you may enjoy the blessings of heaven and being in the presence of God in Jesus Christ forever and forever. Are you here tonight? And you need to respond to the invitation of the Lord? If such is the case, we hope that you'll come, that you will make yourself to become an heir of Abraham's seed and a child of God and be able to live throughout eternity in the joys that God has provided. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come while together we stand and sing?